Okay, the way that today's daf is daf Chaf Tes. We are holding Chaf Ches Amid Beis, the very, very end of Chaf Ches Amid Beis, Tan Rabbanan, and now we're on the top of Chaf Tes Amid Aleph. You'll recall yesterday we spoke about a number of people that passed away, and therefore they were Levayis and they were Hespedim. And because of that, the Gemara talks a little bit about that further. Tan Rabbanan, Mevatlin Talbatri, Latoris Hamas, Lachnosis Kalat. Even though a person is learning and learning and learning, and he's immersed in learning, he has siddurim, he has to be mevatel them for purposes of hitzuas meschas shalom a levaya ulachnosas kala or for a chasana. Rashi says pachnosas kala at the very top, lilavoisa to go and accompany her, to escort her, mibeis avia lebeis chupasa, from the home of her father to the beis chupa. Not exactly sure what Rashi is trying to say. I would have thought it'd be simple to say that you attend the chasana. Maybe Rashi's bothered by the lashon of hachnosas kala. What means that you're machnas a kala? So therefore Rashi says that the literal translation means that you're taking the kala from her father's home that he lived until now. She lived until now. And now escorting her to the beis chuppah where she's going to get married and she's going to join her husband.
So these two steps are more important than kibud av v'aim, because we learned...
Kibud av v'aim is a wonderful thing, but Agamori doesn't mention kibud av v'aim.
We learned 2 or 3 days ago that it's more important to learn Torah than to be mechaber your father, your mother.
Right, because of Yosef and Yaakov and Yaakov Shem Ever.
What you're saying is correct. At the end of the Eilu Dvorim, we say, but Talmud Torah k'neged kolam. Talmud Torah is preeminent. However, says our Gemara, that's on a normal, regular basis. If you're talking about something which is time-sensitive, like a Tzor semester is Levaya, you can't go, if the Levaya is scheduled for 10 o'clock, you can't go and say, well, I'll show up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Some Litvish Levayas is still going hot at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but most times, by 2 o'clock, the body has already been buried. So, same thing, Achnosis Kala, if there's a Chasana tonight, you can't go and say, well, I'll go tomorrow night, because tonight I have the Seder. So, Mevatlan Talmud Torah, sometimes you have to go Mevatlan Talmud Torah.
Megillah, right?
Exactly, and for Megillah too. Exactly, that's what we had before.
Their voda was battle.
Everybody said we can go through the whole Masechta of Megillah now, but everybody wants to finish within an hour. So let's continue on. Zokti Mar, Amru Olav al Rabbi Yehuda Brebi Loi. That's the famous Rabbi Yehuda that you find throughout Shas. Shoyim Mevatlan Talmud Torah Loi Tzuas Emes Achnosis Kala. He was Makayim. Anytime that there was a chasana or that there was a levaya, hey, what? The medvar murim is she'ein shom kol tzorchei. That's if there are not enough people at the levaya. Avliyeshem kol tzorchei, if they have enough of a crowd, ein mevalin. So now the obvious question is, what means that they have enough of a crowd? Does that mean 50 people or 100 people? Rekama kol tzorchei. Omer of Shmuel bar inya mishmei derab. Tracer Alfi Gavri Vishita Alfi Shipuri. If you have 12,000 people attending the Levaya, and you have 6,000 that blew the shofar, the purpose of blowing the shofar was to proclaim and to advise everyone that there is a Levaya. Even some neighborhoods today, in Yerushalayim, for instance, they have cars going around with loudspeakers that the Levaya of this and this person will take place at this and this time, etc. So, if they have 12 plus 6, if they have 18,000 people, then you can stay home and you can go and learn. But if otherwise, you should go and join the Levaya. The Amri, the others say, 18,000, come on, it's a shtickle guzman. No. Trace Alfi Gabri, umina yoshita Alfi Shipuri. 12,000, of which 6,000 are the ones that are announcing and letting everybody know that the Levaya is taking place at this and this time. So it's therefore not 12 plus 6, but 12 including the 6. But we're not finished yet. Ula Amar. You're going to Chaitzi Gabri me Avula ad Sichra. Avula means the Sha'arei Ho'ir, the gates of the city. Sichra means the Beis HaChaim. In the good old days, all of the Bati Chaim were established outside the city limits. In fact, even most Bati Chaim today were originally outside the city limits, just the cities kept on growing and growing and growing until they took in the Beis HaChaim. But the Beis HaChaim was outside the city limits, and therefore what he's saying is, if you have enough people that you can make a human chain from the Sharia ear all the way to the cemetery, then you have Kol Tzarchai. But otherwise, you should come. So of course, every time it depends on the city, where does the city end and where's the Beis HaChaim. But it's got to be a huge crowd to allow you to stay home. But we're not finished yet. Rav Sheshes Omer Kinesi Nasa Kach Niti Losa. If you're talking about a great Talmud Chacham that passed away, Manesi Nasa B'Shishem Riboy Af Niti Losa B'Shishem Riboy. Just like when the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah in Har Sinai, there were 600,000 Jews. So too, if a great Gadol passes away, then the minimum number of people that should be there are 600,000. So if there are only 599,999. Yes, you can go and close your Gemara and join because you don't have Kol Tzarchai. Once you got 600,000, then you can stay home and you can learn. This is just a person who is a Bal Mikra. In other words, someone who knows Tanakh, Vitoni, and he knows Mishnayis. Avlaman de Masni, someone who knows Gemara and or teaches Mishnayis to others, less be sure, then there's no shir that goes already to 5 billion people. Tanim Shimon Yochoy Oimer. Okay, so that's the end of the discussion regarding a Chas Hashem going to Levaya. So the point of the Gemara, of course, is that if there's a Levaya and you have a Shaychus, it doesn't mean that you should go to every Levaya in the world, otherwise you'd never open up a Sefer in the world. But the point is, if you have a Shaychus to that Levaya, then you should go and don't worry about the time of Torah that you are missing.
Does the Gemara ever speak about making a minion?
For a Levaya?
No, just making a minion. If you want to be... You have 9 guys and they need it for the 10th and you're learning
them. Our Gemara here doesn't discuss it. We may have that in Moed Katan, because Moed Katan deals with a lot of Hilchis Avelus and things of that nature. That's the next Masechta Me'efter Shem, so we have something to look forward to. And hopefully we'll look forward to Simchas after the Levayis are over. Tanya B'Shem and Yechai Oymer, Boyori Eikam Chabib in Yisrael of Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Go and see how Klal Yisrael is so chaviv, is beloved by Hashem. Shebechol mokim shegolu shechina imoim. Wherever they go into Golus, shechina is together with them. Golu Mitzrayim shechina imoim. When they were in Mitzrayim, the shechina was with them. She never says in the pasuk, "Nigloi nigleisi lebeis avicha biyoisam b'Mitzrayim." That is a pasuk in Shmuel. What is the purpose of this pasuk? Why is the Gemara bringing it? So says the Marsha. Would it only say one lashon of nigla, ha nigloi? Or would only say Niglesi, that means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared Lebeis Avicha, that's the word Giloi, to appear, Lebeis Avicha would be Yosef Mitzrayim. But because of the double Lashon and Niglai, Niglesi, that means that Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared at all times. The Shechina was there together with them in Mitzrayim. Gol Lebavel, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and Klal Yisrael went to Dabava, the Kodesh Baruch Hu went together with them. Shechina Imoim, Shechina Imoim, says in the Pasuk, Lemanchem Shilachti Bavela, because of you, although the pasuk is written shilachti with a chirik, you can read it as if it says shulachti, which means the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I was also sent out Bavela to Bavel, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu went and accompanied Klal Yisrael in Bavel, the Shechina Zimon. The Avkishen Asim Ligoel Shechina Zimon, when Mi'at Hashem, the time will come that we'll all be redeemed from this bitter golus, Mashiach will come. Kodesh Baruch Hu will himself, Kavi Yochel, join us from amidst the golus. Shenema, v'shav Hashem lekecha shavuscha v'richamecha. Says the Gemara, the word v'shav would seem to be an inappropriate term. L'chor, it should say v'heshev. Heshev minna, Kodesh Baruch Hu returns Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. V'shav means that Kodesh Baruch Hu himself is returning to Eretz Yisrael. Where was the Kodesh Baruch Hu until now? Shchinta b'galusa, the Shchinta was together with us in Golus. The Kodesh Baruch himself is returning from the Golus from to Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara, if a Kodesh Baruch in fact is in Bavel, the Bavel Hecha, where are his headquarters, so to speak? Either in the shul of Hutzel, Hutzel is the name of a city, which we have referred to in the past, or in the shul of Shaf the Yosef in the town or the city of Neherdor. Now what is the name Shaf the Yosef? That's a kind of a very strange term. So if you look at Rashi, the third line from the very top, Shaf the Yosef, now onto the fourth line, Ubanoa Yechonya v'siyatoi. We remember we had the Golus Yochin, and then the Golus Yochim. The Golus Yechonya is even brought, as we know, in the Megillah, Megillah Esther. Asher Heglam Yerushalayim in my Golus in Yechonya Melech Yehuda. Asher Heglam Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. So Yechonya was a big Golus. The Klal Yisrael left at that time. Not left. They were banished at that time from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and Yechoniah and those with him took along, says Rashi, the avonim, the offer sheheviu iman begalusan. They brought along with them from Yerushalayim stones and sand. For what purpose?
To go and build
a shul outside in Bavel that at least would have a zecher to the Yetzias Eretz Yisrael, not Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yetzias Eretz Yisrael, the Golus, so that their building of the shul, this Shofi Yosef, was built from the Avonim Yofar, the Kaim Hashemem, to go and fulfill what it says in the Pasuk, Kirotzu Avadecha es Avoneha v'es Afori Yecheinenu, that your Avodim, Klal Yisrael, went and took your Avonim and offered from Eretz Yisrael to go and build that shul. The article brings from Rav Haigoin, which is also cited in the Oruch, that Rav Haigoin says they didn't just take Avonim v'Ofer from Eretz Yisrael, they took Avonim v'Ofer from the Har Habayis, from the Temple Mount. Why? So that they would be building a Beis Migdash Ma'at, literally a Beis Migdash Ma'at, from the same Ofer and Avonim that were at one time on the Har Habayis.
The language of Shof. Yosef is the set, but Yosef is...
Okay, so now Barry asks, all of that is fascinating. What does it have to do with the definition of the word Shof Yosef? So the word Shof is like from the word Nishof. Nishof means to be blown out. Very good, Shkoich. Nishof, blown out. Nishof. So here too, Klal Yisrael was, in a sense, blown out of Yerushalayim, blown to Chutz Laaretz, to Bavel, the Yosef, and then they established a Mokum Yishuv in Bavel, and they called that shul the shul that descended from those that were blown away from Eretz Yisrael, and which was now re-established in Neda. And Hutzel was the name of the city. So they had one Beis Knesset in Hutzel, one Shofi Yosef in Neda, and the Shechina was in Golis in both of those shuls. And don't tell me that the Shechina was in both places simultaneously, but rather there was a rotation. Zimnin Hacha, Zimnin Hacha. Sometimes the Shechina was in Hutzel, sometimes it was in Shof the Yosef.
Is there any reason for that rotation?
I don't know.
Okay.
But if you find out, please share it with us. And if you can find out also which Shabbosim in Kodesh Baruch was there and which one was there, that would also be worthwhile.
Whose week was it? Okay.
Exactly, whose week? Rabbi, Teisili. So Abaye says about himself, Teisili means I will be rewarded, I will get schar. Any time that I was within a one parsa radius, I made sure to go and daven in Shof Yosef in Edom, because I knew that the Shechina was there, and I wanted to be in a mokum where there is the Shechina. Wow. How much is a parsa? A parsa is 4 mil. Every mil is 2,000 amis. So 4 times 2,000. How much is 4 times 2,000? 8,000. And since according to Chazon Ish, an amma is 2 feet. How many feet is that? 8,000 times 2? 16,000 feet. And since the American mile is 5,280 feet, so we're talking about a drop more than 3 miles. So if he was in a 3-mile radius, he made sure to go and daven in that shul, so he should be in the Mokashim.
How did he know if it was the week where the Shechina was
there? He probably stayed there for 2 or 3 weeks to go and cover all bases to be on the safe side. Zoki Moravaita. I don't know about Klina Hossa. Good. Next nickel. Avu Shmuel v'Levi, Haviyasim b'Kenishta d'Shof v'Yosef b'Ne'edah. Avu Shmuel and Levi, they were sitting in the shul in Ne'edah, in that Shof v'Yosef shul. Asher Shechina, and the Shechina then came on the rebound from Hutzel, and now is residing in Shof v'Yosef. Shamu Koyu Riksha, and they were on the Madrega that they were able to hear the Shechina come in. The word Riksha comes from the word Regesh, which in now means with feeling and with emotion. So hearing this korikshah means they heard the noise, the commotion. They heard the Shechina is now reappearing on the scene, so to speak, in Shof Yosef.
Amazing.
And as the Shechina came in, they got up and they left. In other words, to show their fear, to show their reverence of the Shechina. You know, we were sitting here until now. The Shechina comes in. You know, we're not roy to be in the Shechina, so they went out. Presumably,
so where we get the custom of picking ourselves up for somebody prestigious that walks in.
This too. Besides that, there's a pasuk in the Torah: "Lefnei seva tokum v'hadar to penei zaken." When you have either an elderly individual or very learned scholar, you're supposed to stand up and show reverence for them. Very good. So this is Abu Dishmuel and Levi. Now the Gemara tells us a similar story about Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes have Yosef the Beknish and Shafi Yosef. Ben Erdo, Asher Shechina, the Shechina came in, Veloinofak, and he did not get out. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us why, but it will become self-evident in another line. Rashi points out that Rav Sheshes unfortunately was a Sagi Nohar. He was unfortunately blind. Also Malachi Shores, Malachim came in the Kumavasale, and they started scaring Rav Sheshes. In other words, they started stirring him. In Rav Sheshes, why don't you go and follow the example of Avu Dishmuel Velevi? Why are, do you continue to sit here in the shul? Amalafanov, so he said in front of the Rabbi Yishlam, in front of the Malachim, Rabbi Yishlam, Olav v'she'ena olav, mi nidcha mepnei mi, someone, the word olav in this connection means someone who is nebuch, an unfortunate individual. In Yiddish they would say, a nebuch, a nebuchul. And even in English I think they say nebish. But regardless, so olav means a person unfortunate, and people that are not unfortunate, mi nidcha mepnei mi, who would get priority? What's the English expression? Your health is your wealth. And so therefore, unfortunately, I'm blind. If I'm going to go out of the shul, I don't know exactly where to go. Maybe his aide was not with him. You know, so Malachim, give me a break. You know, if the Shechin is here, okay, Baruch Hashem, I'm delighted. But, you know, I don't have all of my physical capabilities to be able to run around and come and go. It's Amal Hu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Malachim, Shavku, leave him, don't disturb, let Rav Sheshes stay in the shul.
The thing is, I'm sorry, that we spoke before that the people in the shul felt the regish.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see a Kodesh Baruch coming in, so a sight wasn't needed as a quality to be able to...
You're 100% right. But Rav Sheshes presumably also felt that same regish. In fact, blind people have a better sense for other things. So he probably knew what was going on. So now the Malachim said, no, Rav Sheshes, why didn't you get up and also leave, just like Avu Dishmuel and Levi? So Rav Sheshes is apologizing and saying, it's not as easy for me to run around like other people, because unfortunately I am an Olav. Unfortunately I have a physical handicap. V'eilehem l'mikdash mi'ot, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'll be for them a mikdash mi'ot. What does that mean? Rabbi Yitzchak, eile bati yisizah bati midrash sheh be'bavel. Those are the shuls and bati midrashim in Bavel. That what? That Kodesh Baruch Hu says, a little bit of shechina in every one of them, each one of them is deemed to be like a small base of English. Rabbi Lezer Omar zeh base Rabbeinu sheh be'bavel. This is talking about the house, or others say the yeshiva of Rabbeinu. Rashi says Rabbeinu is referring to Rav, that his home or his yeshiva, that is the Mokai Mikdash Ma'at here in Chutzlart. Dor Hashem, my Tzivit says in the Pasuk, Hashem Mo'ein, Hashem Mo'ein, Ata Ha'yisal Lanu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you are a Mo'ein, a Mo'ein is a dwelling place. What is that referring to? And what you can see is about the Midrashas, that those are, what you can see is about the Midrashas, out in Chutzlaret, or for that matter, even in Eretz Yisrael, when there is no base of English, that is the Mo'ein, that's where Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol resides. Amar Rabbi, Mareish have a Garisna Mabesa. In my youth, in earlier years, I used to go and learn at home. Umaslim Mabekinishna, and I would go and daven in shul. Kim the Shabbos Lahadi Amar David. When I heard that David HaMelech says Hashem Ahavti Mi'oin Beisecha, and we just said now Mo'oin is a place where Kodesh Baruch Hu resides, Kaviyachol, have a Garisna Mabekinishna, that I made sure not to go and daven at home. First thing I would do in the morning is I would go to shul and I would go and learn there, and then afterwards I would daven there, so that I was in the Mo'in Beisecha as much as possible. Hashem Ahavti Mo'in Beisecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah, we want to be as close as possible, therefore he would both learn and daven in shul. Dr. Moravait, Tider Blazar Kapar, Oymed is a very famous chazal, Asim Dr. Kipsis, what the Midrashah, Shimabava, Sheikovu, Beres Israel, that when the loss of love is going to come, all the shuls and all the Bat Midrashim are all going to be lifted and transported to Eretz Yisrael. Shedema, like it says in the Bosaki, to Ketovar Baharim, Ochecharmel Bayom Yovai. Now this is referring to the Tovar is the name of a mountain, and Carmel is also the name of a mountain. Yes, there's a place called Har HaCarmel. Yes, I'm sure you've heard of it. Some say it's referring to a wine, Carmel, but that's not what we're talking about over here. Anyway, we're referring specifically, says Rashi, at the time of the Matan Torah, that the Har Tovar and the Har HaCarmel came from Chutz Laretz, and they came into Eretz Yisrael. Tovar came and from among the mountains, or he jumped over the mountains and came to Eretz Yisrael, and Carmel went through the Yam, or jumped over the Yam and came to Eretz Yisrael. The Carmel and Tovar, they only came for that brief moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Sinas of Torah a couple of thousand years ago on Har Sinai. But once they came in, they already stayed. They didn't jump back. Once they're there, they came for Har Sinai, and they stayed in Eretz Yisrael. They were in Eretz Yisrael. It's Batei Rishis and Batei Midrashim. Shekarim Arbitzim and Torah, those shuls and Batei Midrashim, where they are teaching and learning and inculcating Torah in Klal Yisrael, which is not just a one-time short event, Lefisha, this is on a constant basis. Al-Ach has come the Kama, then eventually they will be uprooted like Har Tovar and Har Carmel, and they will be brought over to Eretz Yisrael. George Bakapar my symptoms of the Pasik. Lama Teratzten Horim Gavnunim. The word Teratzten is like from a lotion of dancing. Horim Gavnunim is the majestic mountains. So what is this referring to that the majestic mountains are dancing? Yotzabaskov Yomalahem Lama Tirtsu Din Im Sinai. So Gemara darshins is al pi drush. The word Teratzten is not referring to dancing, but it's Tirtsu Din. Why are you litigating? Why are you disputing Im Sinai? Meaning that they were all jealous of Sinai. Sinai, as we know, was the shorty. These are major mountains, the Horim, Gavnunim, these majestic mountains. And they're saying, why was the Torah given on Sinai and not on us? Zokti Gemara, that's Pshat Lama Teratzin Horim. Lama Tirtzu Din Im Sinai. Kulchan Bali Mumen Atem Eitzel Sinai. All of you majestic mountains, you are all considered to be blemished compared to Sinai. Why? Ksiv Hoche, it says Gavnunim. Ksiv Hosem, and it says Lagabi the Mumen of either an animal or of a koyin, it says Oygibein Oydak. A Gibein is a person that has long, long eyebrows or long, long eyelashes. Oydak, some say this, there was a fellow on television many, many years ago, his name was Christ Mendel Marx or something like that, and so he had such a long eyebrows or whatever it was. Dak is like a cataract that a person has in his eyes. So what the Gemara is saying is that if you have a Koyin that has such long eyebrows or whatever, or such cataracts in the eyes, that might be deemed a mum for purposes of doing the avoida. Ah, so we see that the word Gibein is a mum. Ah, so the word Gavnunim therefore is referring to the mum. So what is the mum that these mountains have? What was their dispute with Sinai in the first place? They said, Sinai, you are little puny. We happen to be majestic. So they were arrogant and pompous mountains. You see from this, it's someone who is pompous, balmumu. This is a physical blemish. This is not just, well, okay, so he's a big shot, a grace, a knacker. No, this is a balmum. This we see from this lotion that Gibein and Gamnunim, that they consider themselves to be high and mighty compared to the puny little sinner. We said over here in our Gemara that Shechinta Begalusa, Shechinta is together with us in Golus. I've said this story in the past, but it's good maybe to repeat it again. The Heilige Rishna, who was one of the greatest Rebbes of all time, he was taken into jail because some of the Misnagdim at that time were Malshin on him, and they said to the Russian government, whoever the local authorities were, that the Rishna is planning to go and build his own government and his own kingdom, and he's going to take over with thousands of Hasidim. They want to establish their own base, etc. Oh, so that's a threat to the king. So they put him in jail, and he was in jail for a while, and Baruch Hashem, ultimately he was released. Anyway, so when he was there in jail, he was quite sad. Most people when they're in jail are quite sad. So the jail warden came over to him and he said to the Rishna, he said, Rabbi, I don't understand you. You know the Psalm 23, where it says, Gam ki eilach begeitz halmubis, le'irero ki ati modi. Even when I go through the valley of death, le'irero, I'm not afraid of anything. Ki ati modi, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're together with me. So I have full emunah bitachon, you're with me. I'm not worried about even when I'm going through the gates halmubis. So he said, Rabbi, if you really believe this, God is with you, so why are you upset? He said, Warden, what you're saying is absolutely true. You've quoted the pasuk. However, you've misinterpreted it. How did you misinterpret it? Gam ki eilach megei salmovas. Even though I'm going through the valley of death, lo ira, I'm not afraid. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu is with me. Ra, you know it's bad. Ki ati modi, it's bad enough for Kodesh Baruch Hu that I have to be in jail. But did you have to be in jail together with me? That's why I feel bad. Shechinta begalusa, Kodesh Baruch Hu is in galus at every single Eid. But meila, no, shoy, it's my din udvarim from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that I, my gzar din that I have to be here in jail. But you have to be together with me. Ra, you know it's bad. Ki ati modi, that you also have to sit in jail together with me at the same time. Anyway, Shechinta Bekeluza, hopefully we'll soon have the kiyum of the Shav Hashem of the Kecha, Eshvuscha, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to, together with us, go back to Eretz Yisrael, be as Mashiach. Umay, let's continue on to the Moriyat Zvaiter, Ein Oysen Oysei Kapandri, and how to make a shul into Kapandri. Kapandri means a shortcut. Pretty more my Kapandri, what's the definition of word shortcut of Kapandri, Omarov, a Kapandri Kishma? Like it sounds, you know, Kapandri is a Kapandria. You're pretty more my Kishma. Kimandi Omer, Adamakifna, Adori, Eol Beha. The word Kapandri is like a shortening, a contraction of the following three, four words. Adam Kifna Dori, I want to go to a particular shul or particular place. So instead of having to go around, Makifna means to be makif, to go round and round, Adori, many different houses, like Dirois, or Adori could also mean Shurois, rows. Instead of having to go round and round, Eyo Baha, I'm going to go through this shortcut and go through. So that's the word. Kapandri is a combination of those words, Makifna Adori. Instead of having to go room and room, I go straight through. I have in Muncie, many homeowners have signs on Shabbos. You can go through my property and go straight through to the other shul, no problem. You're totally permitted at all times of tefillah, etc. Just go through, don't ask any questions. And in fact, there's even one place not far from where we live in Forche, where someone, since everybody took it very literally, and there was a very large crowd that goes back and forth through the property to get to a particular shul, he went and made a beautiful paved path. Mm-hmm. And that path is not just paved with cement, with very, very beautiful colored stones, and he has on it Zaydi's path, a big sign, L'Zeicha Nishmas, his Zayd or something, and they have special lights which are assembled over there on both sides of the path, together with benches. Anybody that feels a little tired, anybody could sit down and enjoy themselves. This is on private property, but he gives it away to the Tzibur as a real kapandria. What's up there? I've never been there for the Kiddush, but if you want, you can come and let me know next time that you're around. Anyway, so continue on. If the shul was built over a public path, in other words, it wasn't public path there for years, and then they bought up the property and built the shul over it, so then you've taken away my shvil. So then you're allowed to go and use the shul as a kapandria, because it's not that the shul came first, the kapandria came first. You took away my rights, and then it's okay. A person who goes into a shul because he wants to, for instance, to go to daven, to go to learn, or whatever it happens to be, and guess what happens? When he wants to leave shul, instead of going back the same way that he came, he wants to go through a different door because he now wants to pick up something in the store or something like that. So even though he's using his kapandria, but that wasn't his intent. His intent was to daven. Now he wants to, at the end, use it as a shortcut. That's okay.
And when they talk about a shortcut, are you talking about just the building or the
we're talking about going through the shul itself. If you're talking about lobbies or the sides, that's not a problem. Amr Bavo, Im Ho Yishvil Me Yikara. Oh, we said that already. I'm sorry. Next line. Lasoysa Kabadi. Mutla says Kabadi. Yomr Bchalbi Amr Avuna. Hanichlas Labesa Knesses. Lihispalo. A person went into Davin, like we just said, because it's Kabadi. Shinem is a posik in Yecheskel, which is now talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Beis HaMikdash itself, Uvavoy Am Ha'aretz Afni Hashem Miadim, when you had the Sholish Golem, everybody came to greet the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash. Habo derech shar tzofein lihishtachvois. People would typically come through the northern gate to mishtachve, to prostrate themselves before Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yotze derech shar neged. But often he would go out through the southern gates. Even though he entered in the northern gate, he went through the southern gate. That's not a problem, because he didn't come for purposes of a kapandria. He came for purposes of lishtachvois, to be there to base mitzvah. So now when he's leaving, he doesn't have to go back the same way he came. You can go and use a shortcut by going through a different door to a different way. Okay. Right, we said in the Mishnah, Olu b'yasavim l'yit loishim and the agvaz nefesh. You have nebuch a shul that has become choruv. It's nebuch destroyed and devastation or old, etc. And now asavim, grass is growing from the ground. Don't even go and uproot it. People should see it and they should feel bad. And maybe they'll make a capital campaign to rebuild the shul and rehabilitate it. You can't go and uproot the grass and give it to your animals to eat. What you are allowed to do is uproot it and then just leave the grass there on the ground in the shul. That's permissible. Oh, so you see that you are allowed to be toilish. Our Mishnah says, lo yit loish. What our Mishnah meant is, don't go and uproot the grass and feed it to your cattle, feed it to the animals. But if you want to be toilish and leave it there, that's fine. But the whole purpose is agnas nefesh. When you see that there's grass there, why is there grass on the ground? There shouldn't be any grass there. Oh, because the shul is charev. So that gives a person agnas nefesh. And since we spoke about the grass in shuls, the Gemara now tells us a similar concept when it comes to chas v'shalom, a cemetery. Tana Rabbanan, Beis HaKvaros. Ein hagim ben kalas roish. Don't act in a frivolous manner in a Beis HaChaim, in a cemetery. Ein ma'an ben behemah. Don't take your behemahs to go and graze. Ben melichan ben ma'am asamayim. And don't use it as a pathway for putting in a ditch for water. The ein an irrigation ditch. Ben malakten ben asavim. And don't go and pull out the grass there. Then leak it. However, if you did pull out the grass, serve them the mekoyman, leave them there and burn them there in the Beis HaChaim, mepnei kovid mesa, because of the kovid for those that unfortunately are lying there in the Beis HaChaim. So Freiti Mariet, these last three words, mepnei kovid mesa, ahai, what is that modifying? Ilei ma'aseifa, that the last few words were, v'imliket, if you uprooted the grass, serve them the mekoyman, go and burn them there, because of the covenant of Mason. Freight Gemara, Kimin Shesorfan, them Koyman my covenant Mason Yako. What is one related to the other? You go and burn grass, it's a covenant for Mason. So Gemara El Aresha, rather it's going on the beginning of the Brisa. That the Brisa begins, don't be Noy Kalis Roish in a cemetery. Don't go and bring in your bangers. Don't go and make an Amasamai. Don't go and uproot the grass. You know the reason why they covered Mason? Because we want that the Mason should lie quietly and not
dignified.
In a dignified way, thank you very much. And therefore, that's the reason why I don't do anything else to the cemetery. Don't use it for this, for that, the other thing, etc. And you shouldn't even pull up the asav. Just leave the asav there. Don't do anything else. If you did pull out the asav, don't give it to your cattle, because that would be improper. That would be like using it to graze in my behemah. So I'll be an oibuchuchim. Instead of bringing in my behemahs, I'll uproot the grass and take it out of the cemetery. No, just leave it there. And if you went and you uprooted it already, sarv mekayman, leave it there, burn it there, don't take it out for your cattle.
Now it's talking about the ratio, so it says you shouldn't.
We're going on the ratio, where it says, Ein the Hagen ben Kalas Roish. Why shouldn't you be Kalas Roish? Then he covered Mason to go and give COVID to those that are departed, so that it should be a dignified place of final rest.
But there's grass and stuff growing, and so not too. I mean, people try.
Don't upset it. The grass growing is because if you're going to uproot the grass and serve it to your animals, it looks like the cemetery is a convenient grazing ground. The cemetery is a place where never people passed away, and therefore it should have a dignified status.
You want to make the masseter, the grave, make it
mean. Presumably, yes, but Gemara doesn't go into that.
Monument mean.
Just the Chestahova, and there's no Jews left in their town, and there's a big mass grave in the center of town, and the Polish authorities made a park there. And when we were there, there was a man who was descended from Chestahova Jews, saying Kaddish. And Mr. Nechemia Ratner was also from there, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman was there walking her dog. You know, she has no even awareness that this is like thousands of Jews buried. It's a public park now. It's so reduced. It's so minor. Yeah. And it's ignored. It's just ignored.
In Las Vegas as well.
Yes, please.
Some reference.
Yes.
In Frankfurt.
Yes.
Hitler, whatever reason, I don't know why, never destroyed Jewish cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So today, they spend literally thousands of dollars. I always see three or four Germans on tractors making the grass. Physically, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, dead Jews, they're very machabed. They're very machabed.
No, I'm just trying to give you I don't know what his suspicion was, but for that reason, he never destroyed Jewish cemeteries in Frankfurt.
Nice guy. Okay.
He wanted to make room for more Jews. That's why he destroyed the old cemeteries. And we continue on. Look at the Mishnah Baikta. Now we're going into the famous Arba Parashias that we learn during Chodesh Adar as we get closer and closer to Pesach. If Chodesh Adar is Shabbos, if Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos itself, Chodesh Adar is Shkolim, as we know. What happens if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out during the week? Then Martin Lisha over, and then we lay Parsha Shkolim the Shabbos before, not the Shabbos afterwards, but the Shabbos before. Now, because of that, there's going to be a space in between Shabbos Shkolim and the Shabbos Zohar. So therefore, we take a break. That's true, but nevertheless, our Mishnah told us they made a hefsek. Bishniya, the second Shabbos is Zohar, meaning pre-Purim. Bishlisha, the third Shabbos is Purah Aduma. Paraduma is, of course, we learn from Parshas Chukas. Previous, the fourth one is the Chodesh Zelachan, where we go and learn from Parshas Chodesh, since we're approaching Chodesh Nisan. Rashi points out from the Yerushalmi that Lechoira, in terms of sequence, the Parshas Chodesh should have come before the Parshas Paraduma. Why? Because the Chodesh Zelachan is referring to Chodesh Nisan. And that's when they were making the Mishkan. And after the Hakamas Mishkan, the next day, they sprinkled people with the Pora Aduma water to go and be Matayah. So if anything, the Chodesh is there, the Rosh Chodesh came before the Pora Aduma. So why is Pora Aduma coming before Rosh Chodesh? Says Rashi, Bishem Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi is trying to, the Mishnah and the Chazal are trying to emphasize that the Tahara of Klal Yisrael, that takes priority. If you want, we could take a quick look. You see the Rashi here. Previous HaChodesh is Elechem. It's about 10-12 lines before the end. Shisham Parshas HaPesach. Why do we learn Parshas HaChodesh? We just learned it now on this Shabbos, Parshas Boy. Parshas HaChodesh talks about, of course, Pesach. U'b'Shabbos Shas Yerushalmi Garsinan Amr Pchama Medin Hi Him Hu Sheyiktoim HaChodesh LaParshas Par. Really, Parshas HaChodesh should come before Parshas Par. Shav Yecha V'Nisa Hu Kama Mishkan V'Sheni Loi Nisufa Par. To tell you this is the makor, the preeminent, the quintessential tahar of Klal Yisrael is reflected in the inyan of the paradum. Okay, continuing on, zok the Mishnah vayte, b'chamish is chayv lekasin. Right, the fifth week, then we go back to your normal seder. In other words, we return to normalcy, because the four parshas are over. Now, what does exactly it means a chayv lekasidron? We're going to have a machloikis in the Gemara, whether that means we go back to the regular parsha, which suggests that during the four parshas, the only thing that they leaned were the four parshas. They didn't lean the regular sedra. And now, after these 4 weeks are over, we go back to the sedra wherever we're holding, parsha Mishpatim, Truma, Tetzava, wherever we happen to be. Or, as our custom is, we continue leaning the regular parshas throughout these weeks. Chayim Kasin is referring to the Haftoyers. We're no longer focusing on the four Haftoyers of the four parishes, but the regular Haftoyer. Which we'll see on the Omid Beis shortly. Continues the Mishnah, this is not the only time that we make a Hefsik that we change either the laning of the parish or the Haftoyer. The same thing applies with Rosh Chodesh. For instance, if Rosh Chodesh falls down on Monday or Thursday, we don't lane the normal Monday or Thursday laning, we lane the Rosh Chodesh laning. And the same thing on Chanukah, we lane the Chanukah laning. And on Purim. And on the Tanis. My mothers we had back in the Sechtes Tanis, where they used to lane for the Masa Bereishis every day. And on Yom Kippurim that we go and lane on Yom Kippur, the special lane. Now, that we lane in the morning, the special lane on Yom Kippur, that applies to all Yom Tovim. Yom Kippur is no miyuchas over here. So it didn't have to be Yom Kippurim, but Mechol HaMayadim. We go and lane on Pesach and on Sukkot, Shorech Chesavayez, Kiyavoleid, or whatever we lane on those days. So why does it refer to Afka Yom Kippurim? So the last Tosis says that we're talking about the Mincha of Yom Kippur. Throughout the year, whenever we lay mincha, typically on a Shabbos, it's from the Seder HaParashis. On Yom Kippur, we lay from the Seder Aroyas, the Parashis Aroyas in Acher Mois Kedosh. Anyway, on to Gemara. Zug Gemara Tanan Hossam, Yechad B'Odah, Mashmiyam Ala Shkolim. Famous Mishnah, first Mishnah, Mesachta Shkolim. On the first day of Odah, they were Mashmiya, they started proclaiming, they put up signs, they give claps and all the butt to Midrashim. Don't forget to bring your masters a shekel for the Beis HaMikdash. Bala Kelayim, and they also proclaimed about Kelayim. Kelayim, of course, means that you have two things growing in the field, which are mixing together improperly. It's Bishlam Malakilayim Dizman Zriyi. I understand that because it's a time for planting. Taptoisa says we don't really mean planting. You don't really plant other time. You plant normally right after Sukkot. He means Zriya, that things are now growing and blooming and blossoming, because now throughout the winter months it was nice and cold and the roots down below were developing, but you only start seeing the blossoming and blooming when it comes other time. And that's why, of course, in Nisan, that's when you see the first leaves come out and you make the bracha on the nut on the trees, Ali Ilonis. So that's what he means, Man Zriya. Now you can discern and see, uh-oh, the grapes are getting mixed in with the grain, etc. You have a matzav of kalayim. So it makes sense to make that announcement, Rish Chodesh Adar. Ela l'shkolim, you know, v'sef is mitshkolim. What does shkolim have to do with Chodesh Adar? Rav Tavi, Rav Yoshe. Remember this Rav Tavi, because we're going to have Rav Tavi another couple of times here, further down on the Amid, the Amakra. It says at the end of Rish Chodesh lighting, that we always learn in Rish Chodesh, Zois oilas Chodesh v'chodshei l'chodshei hashana, that the word Chodesh is repeated three times. This oilas Chodesh v'chodshei l'chodshei hashana. What's the purpose of that? Amr Taira, Chadesh v'hovi korbi mitruma chadosha. When you're going to have now Chodesh Nisan, which is the first month of the year, we're going to start once again bringing new karbonos, like we bring every day of the year, but the new karbonos we brought from the new funds, from the new Lishkas Hagozes funds. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Havi kar mitruma lishka, I'm sorry, mitruma chadosha. If you bring your own carbon, of course you take it from your own funds. But all of those karbonos tzibur, like the daily carbon tomid, shul shachar, shul ben arboim, and the carbon musaf on Shabbos and Rish Chodesh, etc., all of those karbonos tzibur, who gave the money for it? All of Klal Yisrael. We all donated the Matzah Seshekel funds, starting from Rish Chodesh Adar until Chodesh Nisan, and those funds were collected and put into special boxes in the special Lishka, and then they were dispensed three times a year for purposes of using to go and buy the new Karbanis. So that's what the Chodesh B'Chodesh, the Chodeshei Hashan is coming to tell you, Chadesh, bring now new monies to the base. In English, V'Beikar Mitru Mechadosh. V'Kivin the Nisan Boy Akruvi, Mitru Mechadosh, since Nisan is the beginning of the year in terms of the Seder HaChadoshim, and now we're bringing the Tru Mechadosh in Chodesh Nisan, Kadmina Mekarin Be'achaviyah, so that's why the Mishnah beginning of Sechash Kolam says that 30 days before, start making announcements, start making proclamations everywhere that people have to give money for the new Matzah Shekel. Keich leis the shkol on the Migdash, so they should bring the shkol to the Bis Migdash in a timely fashion. Now the fact that we allow for a 4-week announcement period sounds like Kiman Delikam Shim Gamliel. That it's not like Rav Shim Gamliel. Why did Rav Shim Gamliel? How Amash Deh Shabbosais? Rav Shim Gamliel says whenever you need to have something done in a timely fashion, you give him 2 weeks' notice, you don't have to 4 weeks' notice. The same like we learned in the Braisa. She'al Milchas HaPesach Kodeh HaPesach Shloishim Yoim, that the Rabbanim start going and darshaning and explaining all the laws related to Pesach 30 days before, so people, when it comes Pesach, they know exactly what to do because they've heard now drushes and shiurim and halachas for the last 30 days. Well, no, 2 weeks is enough. If 2 weeks is enough, just like the Hilchos Pesach is enough, L'choira, the announcement for the Machzah Shekel, 2 weeks should also be enough. So L'choira, the Mishnah does not go like Rav Shim Gamliel, because it requires 4 weeks from Rish Chodesh Adar. So to Rish Karai, Afilatim Rav Shim Gamliel, Kim Diyom Amar B'chamisha Usaboy, Shulchonais Yoishvin Ba'Medina, U'b'chofe Yoishvin Ba'Migdash, Mishum Shulchonais Kaminim Ve'Karinan. What the Gemara is telling us is, on Rish Chodesh Adar, they started making the announcements. Okay, so people now have to start figuring out, how am I going to get together in Machzah Shekel, which bank account, which stock should I liquidate, where could I go and put together a few more pennies to get together my Machzah Shekel. So they would announce it on Rish Chodesh, and Chamisha Osir Boy, on the 15th day of Chodesh Adar, then they set up Shulchanois in the Medina. Presumably like in every shul, in every besmedish, or in the marketplace, they had special Shulchanois with a big sign. Here you can go and donate your Matzah Shekel. And, B'chafei, once we hit the 25th of the month, we no longer had the Shulchanois just anywhere and everywhere, but they were located now B'Migdash in the Beis Migdash, so that people, when they come to the Beis Migdash, they should remember, oh, I have to give my Matzah Shekel, and now everything was kind of collected and centered around the Beis Migdash.
I understand the Havamina, because 2 weeks before Pesach is a Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you already need korbanos from the new fiscal year, from the new funds.
Yes.
So how could you even assume that 2 weeks would be sufficient?
Thank you.
For, the question doesn't start.
What the Gemara is telling us is, that in parallel situations, we're not relating the kabbonis for Pesach to the kabbonis of the whole year and Machzor Shekel. The parallel connection over here is how much time do people need before a major event that they have to prepare for. According to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, Shalom Hilchas Pesach, Pesach is a major event on the Jewish calendar. You have to give everybody 30 days preparation and start talking about Pesach. Oh, Taka Pesach in 30 days. Remember, they didn't have calendars like we have today. They didn't have Maizmanim on the internet. So how did people know it's Pesach? The rabbis started going and darshaning and giving shiurim, and they put up signs, come to the Shabbos HaGudul Drusha, not Shabbos HaGudul, the Hilchas HaPesach Drusha, and they started 30 days before. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, people can get their act together in 2 weeks, you don't need to give them 4 weeks' notice. 2 weeks' notice is sufficient, teach them all the halachas and all the menhagim, etc., etc. Ah, so we see that when it comes to religious major events, here you need 4 weeks preparation. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says 2 weeks preparation. So now when it comes to the event of giving Machzor Shekel, which is of course a monetary event, but it's not on the same level of Pesach, says the Tanakhama of the Mishnah in Masechtas Shkolim, you need 4 weeks for that. Give everybody 4 weeks notice. L'choira, if you ask Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, madach to go and prepare for Pesach and get all your halachas in a row, and no. 2 weeks is enough to scratch together a Masechta Shekel. 2 weeks is also enough. So why did it say in the Mishnah 4 weeks? So therefore the Gemara assumes that it's not in accordance with Shem Gamliel, because he would hold 2 weeks enough, we can start Purim time. Besides going and announcing, the boy say you have to go and give Shlachmanis and Matunis and Yoinim. Don't forget, leave some funds for Master Shekel, because we're going to need it within 2 weeks for purposes of the Beis Mikdash.
He must probably do the cleaning first.
Rosh Hashanah, you have the month of El, you're preparing. It's
a nice parallel. Yeah, also 4 weeks before Rosh Chodeshel. Very nice. It's great. Yeah. Okay, your question is addressed. Daniel, you would like to say something?
No, I'm fine.
Good, everybody's fine. So getting back to our Gemara, so therefore says Gemara, L'choy, it doesn't go like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Everything Gemara, no. Since we just said that the other Braisa tells us that B'chamishu B'asa, the Shulchanis are now set up in Medina, so on the day you put up the Shulchanis, you don't want to make an answer. Okay, Rav Isai, here's the tables, go and give your money. I didn't even know the tables are going to be established today. So you give them 2 weeks before. So 2 weeks notice is not 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, but it's 2 weeks before the Shulchanos Yoshma Medina, because presumably at that time the Gaboyim will start, you know, no, Yankel, Baruch Shmuel, no, everybody bring your Shkolim. So you give them 2 weeks notice. It's Taka Chamishu Siyoy. 2 weeks not before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but 2 weeks before the Chamisha Asa by Shulchanos Hashem. Shem Shulchanos Kamina Bekarin, and that's why we lay it 2 weeks before. Frank Dimar now, very basic question. My Parshas Shkolim, what is the Parshas Shkolim? Now we all know it's from the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, where it talks about bringing the Machzor Shekel. However, unbelievably, it's a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Omer Tavis Bnei Yisrael Yomar Talim is Korboni Lachmi Leishai. In other words, it's the laning that we lane on every Rosh Chodesh, that you always lane throughout the year from Pinchas. That's what you got to go and lane for Parshas Shkolim. Shmuel said, no, you lane Kisisa, because there it talks about Kisisa Rosh Bnei Yisrael, if Kudem, Venosnu Ish, everybody has to give Koifer. What do they have to give? The Machzor Shekel, Shekel Kodesh, Esrim Gira Shekel, Machzor Shekel, Trumal Hashem, you got to bring the Machzor Shekel. So now, on the surface, it seems to be much more appropriate to lane from Kisisa. Bishlam Lamani Yama Kisisa, meaning Shmuel, had the Kodesh Parshas Shkolim, because in fact it talks about the Chesim Bashkolim, Machzor Shekel, Bashekel, Kodesh, Shkolim. And Lamani Yama's Kobani Lach, Lamisha, Reach, Lichoichi, that's a beautiful parsha that we learn in Rosh Chodesh, but Hacham Midi Shkolim, see the awesome. I don't remember even one word of Shkolim. Look at all the words throughout the entire parsha there in Parshas Pinchas, the Tzavis Bnei Yisrael, Vimatalein, Uviyar Mashabbos, Rosh Chodcheichem, the word Shkolim is not mentioned. So that would seem to be inappropriate. Everyone, itamai kederab tevi. That's Reb Tevi that we had at the top of the Yomid. Reb Tevi said, how do I know there's a mitzvah machzor shekel from the pasuk? Zois oilas chodesh bechodshei lechodshei ashana. Where do you lay that? That's in Parshas Pinchas. That's in part of a Rosh Chodesh. And we lay that always on Rosh Chodesh. It's towards the end of the fourth aliyah. So he said, chodesh bechodshei lechodshei ashana. Series of mechal chatzis. Anyway, so the point is, since this din of Machzor Shekel is rooted in this pasuk of the Chodesh B'Chodshu L'Chodshu Hashanah, so even though the word Shkolim is not mentioned, but that's the Makor of the Machzor Shekel requirement in Adar for Nisan, so that's the appropriate place to lane according to Rav. So, to what? Mishlan, on the other side of Israel, Mishum Dachsivi B'Karbonis.
Kabbalah Sasa, Kid Reb Tevi. Then I understand why we in fact go and lain from Rishreish. Now we're going the other way around. I understand Rab that requires that the laning should be from Tavas Bnei Yisrael, meaning from the Rishchoyish laning, because the Rishchoyish laning is all talking about Kabbalah. That you bring the Tomit Shul Shachar, Kevese Chotas Leboy, Kevese Kevese Shenit Tepas, Avin Arboyim, and that's the whole purpose of giving the money. And Kirib Tevi, like Kirib Tevi said above, you give the Machtse Shekel for these to meet them every day and for the Musaf and Rishchoyish. And for Shabbos. Eleman Yamiki Sisa, Kabbalah Miksivi, Shkol Madonin Ksivi. Doesn't say anything that the Machtse Shekel in Parshas Kisisa is being used for purpose of buying karbonis. There it's talking about the shekel, a koidish that was used for manufacturing the adonim. Those are the sockets in which the krushim were embedded, right? You have the krushim, the large beams that surrounded the perimeter of the Mishkan, and those were embedded in these adonim, these large sockets. And each one of the sockets was a kikar kesef, and that was a huge amount of the shkolim that were given at the time, the Machtse Shekel and Parshas Kisisa. So in Bazoi, we're talking about the shkolim every year, Machtse Shekel for Kabbalah. That's a different shkolim. That's shkolim for Adonim. Everything working Tony Rabbi Yosef, Sholish Tumas, Hain, Shom Mizbeach, Lom Mizbeach, Shol Adon, Adon, Shol Bedi Kabbalah, Bedi Kabbalah. What Rabbi Yosef is telling us is, if you look at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, the word Truma is written three times. Rashi just brings it Bikitsur. Rashi in Chumash, by the way, also repeats this Gemara. If you look at Rashi, Sholish Trumois, Nemrusham, Machtse Shekel, Truma LaHashem. Yitain Truma Hashem. Law says it's Truma Hashem. So it says three times. Why do you say three times the word Truma in the Parshas Kisisa? One, to tell you the Truma Sadanim, which was a one-time event. Give the Machtse Shekel, if you multiply Machtse Shekel by 600,000, it comes out 300,000 shkolim, and each kikar is keneged 3,000, there were 100 adonim, something that actually makes a gamza cheshbin in Chumash. Uchumas mizbeach lemizbeach, meaning liknes mehen karbonis tzibur, that's the annual Machtse Shekel, lechol hashana, and then you have the Berek Abayis, the next Rashi, he lehoiz shavu bekul, and this was already not a set amount. Each person according to how generous he was. Shenemar vayivoy anashim al anashim koyin ledivlei yaviu chach venezim etc. They brought their jewelry, they brought their gold, their silver, etc. etc. Anyway, so back to the Gemara. Said in fact, although the word shkolim lekarbonis is never mentioned, since it says the word Truma three times, and one of the Trumas was for purposes of buying the Kabbalah, so therefore the Shkolim is talking for the Kabbalah. So in fact, that first time in the Midbar, they gave two Machtse Shekels, one for the Adonim, one for the annual Kabbalah, as well as they gave whatever amount they wanted to for the Berek Abayis. Seeing more is asking a very obvious question. Back at the beginning of our Mishnah, we said, what happens if Parshish Golem falls out on Rish Chodesh? Let's say it wasn't Rish Chodesh Adar, it would have been Rish Chodesh Shvat that fell out on Shabbos. We would also be laning Parshish Shkolim. And the same thing applies to Rish Chodesh Kislev and any other. Why? Because Parshish Shkolim, according to Rav, is the Parsha of Rish Chodesh. Sabbath Bnei Yisrael is Kabbani Lachmi. So, Manishtana, what difference is it that it's Parshish Shkolim? It's like any Rish Chodesh. It's Rish Chodesh Shkolim is Bishabbat. That's the word. Giving a Tamid Kisisa. So normally Rish Chodesh I'd be laning from Parshish Pinchas. Because it happens to be that's Parshish Shkolim. Nah, forget about Parshas Pinchas, we're not going to learn as Roshi Chodshechem, we're going to learn Shkolim from Parshas Kisisa, Zeigit. But if he told me that it's the same learning, so it's the same learning. And just like Dimariyat. Nochom Bishlam an Yama Kisisa, Hainer Dishoni. Shoni means it's a change, like Manishtan. Hainer Dishoni, Hainer Rosh Chodim Shah, Rosh Chodoshim. This Rosh Chodish is different than all other Rosh Chodish. Elam an Yama Tzavad Kabuni Lachlin Ishai, Mai Shoni. Everybody, Shani, the Ilu Rosh Chodoshim, Korushita Ben Yonah Diyoima, on a normal Rosh Chodesh, they would go and lay Rosh Chodesh to fall down on Shabbos. They would lay six from the weekly parasha, V'chad Bid Rosh Chodesh, and the seventh Aliyah would be Rosh Chodesh. Now, our custom is seven from the regular parasha, and the eighth would be Rosh Chodesh. But you remember back on Chav Gimel about a week ago, we had a machloikis whether or not when you have something like a Rosh Chodesh, whether, or not just Rosh Chodesh, any Shabbos, whether the Maftir is one of the seven Olim, or whether he's Olim number eight. So this Gemara is apparently going to Man Yomar, that there were seven Olim altogether, and that the seventh Aliyah, we know that there's a requirement for seven. How do we know seven? The Gemara learned it from two Makaris. What were the two Makaris? One was a Birchas Kahanim, 3, 5, and 7, right? 3 words, 5 words, 7 words. And the second one was the Shloish Shishon B'Yatzar, and the 5 Meroyim Pnei HaMelech, and the Sheva Roya Pnei HaMelech. So there's got to be 7. The question is whether the 7 includes, I didn't remember it, I chazed it. So the question is, what does the 7 include? Is 7 all inclusive? Is it 7 plus 1? And we had a machloikis back on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, as you recall. So our Gemara is going with that view that it was in fact 6 plus 1, and therefore 7 altogether, 6 plus 1 of the Yoyma, Chad Rish Chodesh. That's a regular Shabbos Rish Chodesh. The Ilu in the today, Kulu bin Rish Chodesh, everybody's going to lay. In other words, all the 7 aliyahs, somehow or other, they're going to go and squeeze in. I don't know exactly how. We'll probably get back to the machloikis Rav and Shmuel, whether Doleg or Posek. But we're going to lay all of them B'rish Chodesh, in other words, not really B'rish Chodesh, but be in Parshish Kolim, which is the same laning that we lane on a normal Rish Chodesh. Which means that we're not going to lane the Parsha that week. Because it's Parshish Kolim, we're only going to go and lane from Parshish Pinchas from the Psukim that we lane always Rish Chodesh of Tzavos Ben Yisov Yomartaleh. So the Mahoni Chalamani Yomla say the Parshish Uchaisim. That's very good that we learned in the Mishnah. Then we come to the fifth Shabbos. We return back to your normal Seder of the parishes. Oh, so in other words, we take a break for these 4 weeks. These 4 weeks, we don't lane the normal parasha that we're up to, whether it's Mishpatim or Truma or Tetzaveh, but rather lane these 4 parishes. Which of course is our custom, our minig, that there's no change in the regular parish. Regular parishes remain. It's only the question in the matter or the haftarah that we lay. That's what we're choizer. Or parish also the yoyma karina. We always lay in the regular parish. So my shani. So I'm back to square one. What's the difference between Rish Chodesh, regular Rish Chodesh, and between parishes kolim? And both of them, we combine the regular laning of the regular Shabbos together with a haftarah, a maftir from either from Rish Chodesh or from parishes kolim, which according to Rav are one and the same. So what's the difference? There is a difference. Like we just said, 6 plus 1. Today, if it's Parshish Kolim, we would take the regular parasha and truncate it. Instead of having 6 aliyahs, make 3 aliyahs. So Kohen would get automatically Kohen and Levi together, and Levi would get Shlishi and Revi, and so on and so forth. So we divide it up into 3 aliyahs. And then we would line 4 in Rish Chodesh, meaning from the Kisisa, it's not Kisisa, but the Rish Chodesh laning, which has now become Parshas Shkolim in Pinchas. So, in fact, we presume we lane it like we lane it during the week. When you lane Rish Chodesh during the week, of course, there are 4 aliyahs. When you lane Rish Chodesh on Shabbos, then it's only the Maftar at the end. So here he's saying that because the Kovoid Rish Chodesh Ador, which is not just Rish Chodesh, but it's Parshish Kolim. According to Rav, we would truncate the regular laning into 3 aliyahs, and then we would make the Shishkolim laning into 4 aliyahs, 3 plus 4, and we'd have 7.
Wait, so this is Rish Chodesh, according to Rav, where they said, on Rish Chodesh, they said they just did the Rish Chodesh.
Are you talking about on Shabbos? On Shabbos, Yomar is saying that he would do 6 plus 1. They would do
Shabbos Rosh Chodesh,
regular laning, like we do today.
Yeah.
We do 7 plus 1, he must say 6 plus 1, regular laning from beginning to end, and then we finish the last Shvi, finishes the last thing, and instead of repeating it like we usually do for Maftir, right, then you go to Maftir, you go to Parshas Pinchas.
That's on a
Regular Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Vat, and Rosh Chodesh Nissen, and Rosh Chodesh, except for Parshas
Chodesh. They would split it.
They would have the regular parsha, parshas mishpatim, or whatever it was, lane 3 aliyahs altogether, and then 4 from the Rosh Chodesh, which is parshas kol. We have a machlokes now, Rav and Shmuel. So we're going to try to bring rayas back and forth from various brises. So the first brise is Rosh Chodesh Ador Shechol Yoyis B'Shabbos Koyim B'Parshas Kol Umaftirim B'Hayoda HaKoyin.
If you're telling me it's kashrus kisisa, which focuses on the shekel, machzor shekel, then I understand you're the other koi. The domi lei, it's very similar to chsiv kesem nafshes erkoi, and that's how the parsha kisisa, Reish Bnei Yisrael v'tudiyem, and also ish koifer nafshe l'Hashem b'fkoi roisam liya kesem Bnei Yisrael. Yes, the shteitach also lesson of koifer nefesh. Here it says kesem nafshes erkoi, and as you know, they instituted the haftarah that it should be very similar to the parishes. So this is a very nice parallel. You're talking about kisisa met the machzor shekel met koifer nefesh is kesem. I understand. Is kesem nafshis erkoi at all similar? He's talking about bringing the carbon tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bina boyim, the kaiyus the musaf on Shabbos, musaf rish chodesh, and here you're talking about kesem nafshis erkoi. So the same territory before. Tamid ki Reb Tevi, like Reb Tevi said at the top of the amid, since at the end of the rish chodesh lane we say zoyis oydus chodesh b'chodshoy chadesh v'havi karmi trumel chadosha, which is the makor for machzor shekel. Oh, so machzor shekel I'm giving is takel b'yakoi fenefesh like the. So therefore there is a parallel between the lining and the Aftoira after all. We can have much more discussion about this tomorrow, but basically what this means is that where we lane throughout when we get to the Arab parishes, we are typically close to either Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, the Yaakov Pekudei. We're in that region at that time. Take for instance now, of course this year is an Ibiyos, so it's not exactly the same. But we are now learning this week Bishalach, and then after that is going to be Yisroi and Mishpatim, and now we're in Shvat, so another couple of weeks, we would be roughly at Parsh Kisisa anyway. So what happens if in a particular year, Kisisa turned out to be the Shabbos right before Rosh Chodesh Adar, or Kisisa was the Shabbos right after Rosh Chodesh Adar? What's going to happen is, I'm going to be lining Kisisa twice. One in the previous Shabbos, and one in the next Shabbos. One because it's the Seder HaParashiyos, and one because it's Parashah Shkolim. So the Gemara says, Chol Yoyis B'Parashah HaSmuchala, Bein Mufaneh, Bein Malachara, Koyin Oysa, B'Koyin Oysa. What you do is you're going to repeat it a second time. It's not the end of the world. What the previous Parashah was Kisisa, Gizumtait, and now the next Parashah, which is Parashah Vayakel, will repeat Kisisa. So, Nishkeferlech, or the Fekert, or the previous Parashah, whatever. That makes a lot of sense that Kisisa and Parshas Shkolim would fall out in that time. That's in Parshas Pinchas. It's impossible that Parshas Pinchas should fall out in Chodesh Adar time. Pinchas is typically summertime. At the very beginning, usually end of June, beginning of July, that's when you go and lay in Parshas Pinchas. So what are you talking about that maybe it's going to fall out right before, right after in Chodesh Adar? So it could be Lebnei Marobe, the Maski, the Raisa, the Klashnin. The Gemara brings this a number of times in Shas, that although our custom, of course, is to go through all the parishes from Bereshis until the Zeis HaBracha once a year, that's why part of Simcha Torah, the Simcha is that we have finished the laying of the whole Chumash, and we start brand new again from the beginning of Bereshis. However, in Eretz Yisrael, they had, in some places, they had the minig that they would lay all the parishes over a three-year period. So each parasha presumably had to be divided into more or less two or three, so that they would lay brashas instead of one parasha, they would lay it over two or three weeks, and so on and so forth. Okay, so therefore, according to that minig, then it could be that Pinchas folds out taka other time. According to our minig, that would be impossible. According to that minig, it would be possible. So you don't have a raya from that price. But Tanya, now I have a very conclusive price, exactly like Shmuel, time to listen to Shmuel. So this is directly on point, and it says like Shmuel said. Falls down on Shabbos. It's Rish Chodesh and it's Shabbos and it's also Parsha Shkolim. What do? You take out three Sivrei Torah. The Koyim Behen Ech Binyana Shel Yoy that week's Seder. The Ech Mishol Rish Chodesh. That's of course all good according to Shmuel, and that's of course our minhag. According to Rab, this you wouldn't have three svarim; you'd only have two svarim because Rish Chodesh and Kisisa would be the same. The question only is, how would you subdivide it? Like the Gemara said before, 3 plus 4, 6 plus 1, but you wouldn't have three sifrei Torah; you'd only have two sefer Torah. Here Rabbi Yitzchak Nafa, Rishchodesh Tevis Shcholius B'Shabbos. Oh, Rishchodesh Tevis is always Chanukah time. So then, if you're in Shcholius Torah, you have to have three sefer Torah. The Kohen Ben Echad B'Yom Shcholayim, whatever the parsha is, usually parsha is Miketz. V'Yechad B'Rishchodesh, that's Rishchodesh. V'Yechad B'Chanukah. Utzricha. Now Rabbi Yitzchak Nafa said both of these. Both of these are Rabbi Yitzchak Nafa. What about Rishchodesh Ador and what about Rishchodesh Tevis? Both of them three sefer Torah. So the more Utzricha, what do you have to repeat? I can figure it out on my own. If we want to only say one case, if Rabbi Yitzchak would only tell us about Chanukah, that there are three sefer Torah, I might think that when it comes to Chodesh Adar, maybe he subscribes to the view of Rav, that you don't have to go and lay in Kisisa, but you have to lay in from the regular parsha and from Rish Chodesh. Okay, so you lay in for the two parshas. That's why two would be enough. Kamashma, that's why he has to go and tell us about Rish Chodesh Adar. If that's the case, let him only talk about Adar. Why does he have to talk about Rish Chodesh Teves? His focus was Taka on Chodesh Adar, that you're three, and from that, the Oilim, the Talmidim, extrapolated that the same thing would also be on Rish Chodesh Teves. So he didn't have to say it expressly to Yitzchak Nafta. He talked about Adar, and the Talmidim after that said, oh, since he says on Adar, then three. So you see, having three Sefer Torah is not such a crazy idea. So the same thing would be Rish Chodesh Teves. We'll have three Shabbos, Rish Chodesh, and for Chanukah.
And if Kisisa fell out on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh,
we're going to talk about that either the end of today or tomorrow.
Okay.
So you want to write it, Ma Rish Chodesh Teves. When I'm Rish Chodesh Teves falls out in the middle of the week, so now I have to lay both for Rish Chodesh and for Chanukah. On Rabbi Yitzchak, on the bottom says Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Korut Losim Rish Chodesh V'Yechem B'Chanukah, which is our custom. Instead of having to go and repeat one pasuk twice, V'Yamarta Lehem, because we don't have enough psukim like we learned before, Kuntarab Dolek, or being posted according to Shmuel, rather you have three normal aliyahs from the Rish Chodesh laning, V'Chad B'Chanukah, number four will be Chanukah. Rav Dimi Ben Chaifa Amar, Korut Losim B'Chanukah V'Chad Rish Chodesh. He reverses it. Three Chanukah and one Rish Chodesh. Omra Mani, Kavasin Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Mistabra. I think,
right.
Why is it Mistabra? Throughout the year we have 12 Rish Chodeshes. Chanukah is only 8 days a year, and it's only one period during the year, so Rish Chodesh is much more frequent. Rish Chodesh goes first. Makes sense. Ravon comes to Rav Dimi Mistabra. No, Rav Dimi is right. Mikam L'Ravishi Yavi Rish Chodesh. What's the reason why we lay in four? As you know, throughout Chanukah, we only have three aliyos. We don't have four aliyos. When do you have four aliyos? When it's Rish Chodesh. So, Migorim L'Ravishi Yavai. What caused this day, Manishtana, that day of Chanukah and Rish Chodesh Tevis, to be different than all the other Chanukah days? Because it's Rish Chodesh. That's why there are four aliyos. No. Therefore, Rish Chodesh. Helkach Ravim Rish Chodesh. Boy, Mikri. So, it would make sense that the fourth aliyah should be a Rish Chodesh Dikah reading and not a Chanukah Dikah reading. That's why the first three are Chanukah, and the fourth is Rish Chodesh according to this Manyam. My Havi Allah. So, Lamaisa, what are we talking to? Rav Yosef Omer Imashkichin Rish Chodesh. You don't worry about Rish Chodesh. Imashkichin means that you don't make it the Ikar, but rather you make Chanukah the Ikar. V'rabba Omer Imashkichin V'Chanukah. Don't look at Chanukah as the Ikar, but rather Rish Chodesh is the Ikar. V'ilchasa Imashkichin V'Chanukah, because Rish Chodesh is the Ikar. And about your question about if the Kisisa falls down on Parshish Kolam by Parshish Tzava, that's going to be next Gemara. Itmar Mechem for tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagimach.